Everybody got their hand sanitizer together? Yes? I have a question. Why did God allow coronavirus? That's a question. Or I can put it another way. Why does God allow suffering? That's my question. I just plugged the coronavirus one for a little taster, but the question is, why does God allow suffering? Before I answer that question, I want us to go back to last year. Last year, I asked a question, actually I made a statement, I said, God intends everything for good. Can someone read Romans 8? Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Yeah, anyway, as soon as you get it, just 28, Romans 8, 28. Let's hear what that says.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to this purpose.
Right. So, as I said, last year I was asking, God intends all things for good. So when things are happening to you, we know from Romans 28, and actually I should have asked somebody to do Psalm 30, verse 10, because that follows on. Anyone? Psalm 30, verse 10. Let's just hear what those two say. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Anyone? Psalm 33.
Psalm 33, 10. Psalm 33:10 reads, "For the Lord foils the plans of the nations; he thwarts the purposes of the peoples."
And 11. Sorry.
"But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever; the purposes of his heart through all generations."
Right. So that ties in with the other one. He's saying he has good things for us. He intends all things for good. So let's just hold that in mind. So remember last year I was talking about God intends all things for good, and I was talking about the story of Joseph, you know, the technical dream code, Joseph's story. So we know that Joseph's story, he was sold into Egypt by his brothers, and he did not know while he was going through all those troubles. So this story starts in Genesis 37 and goes to the end. Joseph is sold into Egypt under hardship, and he's there for a number of years. But when you read to the end of the story, you realize he was under training. So he was under training, going through a lot of troubles and tribulation, not knowing why he was being in these situations. So we can continue the story. He says, God wants us to go through training. He wants us to build good character. He wants us to put us through, you know, people talking about refining gold. You go through that process of refining and refining. So Joseph is in Egypt. He's accused of rape. He's accused of all kinds of things. But he is there building his craft. And then the story goes on to say he's able to advise Pharaoh according to the famine and what that means. So if we go to Genesis 41, verse 50. Just continue a bit about that story. Genesis 41, verse 50. Anyone? Yeah, anyone? Genesis 41, verse 50. Continue on from 50 on. Just continue to us about two verses down. That's it. From 51. Continue.
And Joseph called the firstborn Manasseh, making to forget. For God said he was made to forget all my toil and hardship, and all my father's house.
Okay, and the next one. So if you look in the first one, God calls first Manasseh, for he says, God has made me forget. And then And the second child, where's the second one? If you go to the next one, he's talking about the second child, is Ephraim. The next verse down. The second one. Ephraim. So the common thread in all of this is, even when he was in pain, he says, God has made me. So he's acknowledging God in his pain. He has also acknowledged God in his fruitfulness. So I have a little thing here. Says, when things go wrong, don't be bitter. Say, God is in control. When things go right, don't be boastful. Say, God is in control. So in any scenario, morning, come in. In any scenario you face yourself, you find yourself in, whether it's a scenario of bitterness, or when it's a scenario of pain, or when it's a scenario of plenty, say, God is in control. So I'm just using that Joseph story to let you know that things are going to happen to you, things are going to happen around you, but during that time, it could be a season of training because God is getting you ready for something great. So think of it in the situation with Joseph. He was really going through. He was there for 13 years in absolute dungeon and chaos. So from he was 17 when he was sold into Egypt, and he became the head of Egypt when he was 30. So that's a 13-year period. While he was, if you remember the story, he used to kind of laugh at his brothers, say, oh, they're going to bow down to him, and these kind of things. So Joseph was a very boastful teen. So it took him 13 years for God to get him to where he wanted him, for him to rule over Egypt. God wanted a man of character, one of, he was humility, all those kind of good characters. God is trying to build it up, and he just took a bit of time, but God had to put him in a situation for that to change. All right. So what does all that mean? Let's go back to the question. Why does God allow suffering? So I gave you the example, some kind of training. He's allowing suffering because he might, some kind of training. You want to go on an exam. You're preparing for an exam. You don't prepare for an exam with an easy life. It's exertion, it's effort. In order for you to come to the on the other side, there's some level of effort and exertion required. Some kind of difficulty. To become good, there must become some kind of obstacle to overcome. So that's one. Why does God allow suffering? Could be a part of training. Okay. Next thing about why God allows suffering, this one is a little bit more difficult to palate. So I normally call this one the devil making mischief. So let's go to Job chapter 1:1-5 first, and then we see what happened after that. So anybody, Job chapter 1:1-5, and then we can see anybody. So he's saying, you know, there are people who normally say things happen to you when you are, you know, some kind of sin you have created or some kind of stuff you've done before. Job was blameless. Can someone continue from 6? Or you can continue, or anyone else, or you can continue whichever.
One day when the angels came to God to report,
Mischief. Mischief.
God said to Satan, "Have you noticed, my friend Job? There was no one quite like him, honest and true to his word, and totally devoted to God and hating evil." Satan retorted, "So do you think Job does all of that out of the sheer goodness of his heart? Why, no one ever had it so good. You pamper him like a pet, make sure nothing bad ever happens to him or his family. His possessions, bless everything he does. He can't lose. But what do you think would happen if you reached down and took away everything that is his? He curse you right to your face. That's what."
Okay, so let's hold it there for the minute. So you can see Job is blameless, he's upright, and mischief maker is on the prowl. But God is very happy with Job, so I'm giving a kind of practical scenario. One of my old friends come and I said, "Oh, have you seen my daughter, or Tiana or Tyrese?" And I'm quite proud of Tiana, so I say, "Have you seen?" And they say, "Yes." So I'm saying good things about Tiana. When you're proud of somebody, you say good things about them. So God is quite proud of Job, saying good things about him. So when you have a family member, so I give the example of Tiana, you say good things about them. God is saying good things about Job, but the devil is saying that's because you protect him. So let us see what happens in the other side. So let's jump to, where did we end? 12. So let's continue where God gives Satan free will, which will be the next bit. That's the part I was trying to get to. I gave you the scenario. You will have things happening to you, good things, you will have bad things. But in the scenario I was giving with Tiana, you still want God to say, "Look at this person. Even when things are not going well, I'm still proud of him." So in that same scenario, if I was to put it in a practical situation, all of us, we have this coronavirus, people stockpiling on tissues. If someone was to say something to me that Tiana went to Tesco and stole some toilet paper, I said, "That doesn't sound like Tiana." Because you know her, you can have that element of confidence. So God is proud of of Job and have that kind of expectation. So what I want to say to you is let God be proud of you when things go bad. When things are good, don't be boastful. God is in control. When things go wrong, don't be bitter. Still say, God is in control. So can someone just continue from, I want to leapfrog to chapter 2, because I think we went to chapter 1, just not to verse 22. If you could go to chapter 2, verse 1, someone could start from there. I'm just leapfrogging the story. More mischief.
Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to remove him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all that he has for his own life.
So that was probably coronavirus or COVID 12 to 14 or something like that. And that's the point I'm making. There's going to be stuff that's happening in the world. This is not new. Diseases, unforeseen circumstances, unpleasantness, not new. So, the three things I normally say. In the Christian life, there are going to be battles. There's going to be a lot of stuff. So you could look at it. There's going to be battles internally. There's going to be internal battles are going to be within yourself. So that's temptation. That's fear. That's doubt. There are going to be external battles. There are going to be finances, problem with your finances. There are going to be problems with your relationships. There are going to be problems at work. People don't like you. Expect these things. This is not new. You're not the first. So I'll say about the three things. Three things to expect. You've heard this before. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the enemy around us. I have just given you those scenarios. The flesh is the enemy within us. That's your own fear, temptation, and stuff like that. And then the devil, mischief maker. So you will expect these three things as part of your constant battle as long as you're living. The world, the flesh, and the devil. But originally, in God's original plan with Adam and Eve, there was no suffering. That was not part of the plan. And when we return to heaven, there will also be no suffering. So think about that. So the solution is, the key to deal with suffering is to trust in the Lord. So if you go to Psalm 33:12, someone, and read straight to 22, 12 to 22.
By the side of his army. No warrior escapes by his grace.
So the point I'm making is this. This is not new. There was suffering before, suffering today. There's going to be suffering tomorrow. And I've given you those scenarios, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and these kind of things. But what is happening is God is going to be looking. And we should be in a position like Job, so he can say, look at that person. There's stuff happening, but they still maintain their integrity, their character. So you want God to be saying that about you when these things come and hit you left and right. So I want you to see suffering in the context of eternity. Suffering is just a short and small part of the entire journey. So see suffering in the short context of eternity. Our present suffering is in no comparison to the blessings of eternity. And that's it for me. Thank you.